May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Christ. Amen. Now, today we heard the story of Hannah, and she's a particularly fascinating character from the Bible. And I'll tell you in a moment why I think her life story is very compelling. But before I do that, let me give you a bit of background about her. To begin with, her husband Elkanah had two wives. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how it came to happen that he ended up with two wives. And I'm sure the men in this room would really like to know how one can manage having two wives, as getting alone with one is hard enough. But what the Bible tells us is that Elkanah really loved Hannah very much, even though she could not have any children. The family had this tradition of going up for a yearly sacrifice. The entire family, that means Elkanah, the other wife, their children, and Hannah, would go up to worship the Lord together. But whenever Hannah was given special attention by her husband, the other wife would taunt and provoke her very severely about the fact that she was unable to have children. And that would really destroy Hannah. It would hurt her a lot, and she would break down in tears, not wanting to eat anything, nor being able to enjoy the time of worship. And this, very sadly, happened year after year after year. And so, on one of these occasions, Hannah felt so desperate that she lay down in tears before the Lord. And she said to him, "If you give me a child, I will raise him as a Nazarite," which means that the child would be dedicated to the service of the Lord. After that, Hannah's life changed quite dramatically. And this is where we pick up our story from our first reading today. Hannah bore a son, and she named him Samuel. And she stayed back with her son year after year until he was weaned. And then she went up with him, together with the rest of the family, and they worshiped the Lord. After that, Hannah left her son there, under the care of Eli the prophet, so that Samuel might serve the Lord together with him. When we think about it, the story of Hannah is really fascinating, especially in the light of Mothering Sunday, and it teaches us a lot about motherhood. For one, we know that Hannah really longed to have a child. And surely she did cry a lot and pray a lot about it. And though the prayer to have a child is a good thing, it wasn't until she dedicated her son to the Lord that her prayer was heard. Little did she know that God would work in her son's heart in a way that Samuel would one day become a very powerful prophet, entrusted with the spiritual leadership of an entire nation, a prophet who would even anoint the first two kings of Israel, one of them being none other than King David. What this shows us is that sometimes God delays an answer to our prayer until he has our heart right at the point where we are fully aligned to his plan. Hannah's heart was certainly fully aligned to God's plan, and that's why she decided not to go up to meet the Lord until Samuel was weaned. Her decision had nothing to do with the reluctance on her part to keep her promise. On the contrary, Hannah was very determined and focused, not just to keep her promise, but to keep her promise very well. We can see that in a number of facts. First of all, we see that in the fact that she spoke to her husband about it before taking any action. Hannah was ready to discuss her promise with her husband, and her husband, being a godly man, encouraged her to keep her promise to the Lord. This couple, Hannah and Elkanah, modeled to us how parents can work hand in hand in raising the children. we can be quite sure that this was not the only occasion and that Samuel grew up seeing his parents modeling a family where God is at the center. Secondly, we see that Hannah was committed to keep her promise well in the fact that she wanted to offer her son to the Lord as a Nazirite for all time. Now, usually the offering of a Nazirite was tied to a certain period of time, but Samuel's mother offered him to the Lord's service forever. This was not an easy thing to do for a mother, let alone for a mother who had waited so long to have a child. And I bet she was missing him, as she was only able to see him just once a year. But she was willing to put her feelings aside and to give her child back to the Lord with no strings attached. And this is amazing, isn't it? Every child is a gift from God, and we know that. But to entrust the child back to God, not just for a season, but forever, that really takes quite something. And lastly, Hannah's determination to keep her promise well can be seen in the fact that she insisted on not going up to worship the Lord until her son was weaned. Well, what difference does it make, me white wonder? The difference it makes is that Hannah did have more time. Not necessarily more time to enjoy being a mother, but more time to teach her son, about the Lord. Because the Bible says that when Hannah finally took her son up to the Lord, that the boy Samuel worshiped the Lord. How was he able to do that at the age of maybe 5 or 6? How was he able to process that his mother was going to leave him with a complete stranger, and that not for a few days, but forever? I think that the boy Samuel was only able to embrace the situation and to be okay with it because his mother took the time to shape his faith early on, teaching him about the Lord and about the importance, privilege, and joy of serving him. And that's why I think that Hannah is not just a fascinating mother, but also a very compelling character in the Bible. Whether we have children on our own or not, whether woman or man, whether young or old, there is a lot we can learn from Hannah about taking our promises to God very seriously and about keeping them well. It certainly makes a huge difference to a child to see that kind of commitment at home, especially from a mother. The home is the environment where the seed of God grows, and God has called us to be part of his plan to provide the right kind of environment for the people living with us. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, mentions the characteristics which every Christian should display. And I find that when we implement these in our homes, we lay the right kind of foundation for the spiritual growth of our children. Paul speaks of compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, about bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and clothing ourselves with love. And then he says that we should also let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Notice that he doesn't say that the word of Christ should dwell in us every now and then, but it should dwell in us richly. And the Bible really has a lot to say about teaching and speaking about God regularly in our homes and to make it a part of our daily routine. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, the Lord instructs the Israelites to love him and follow him always. And he says that they should fix his words on their hearts and minds and that they should teach their children about it. Talking about the verses, about his words, when they sit at home, when they walk along the road, when they lie down, and when they get up. And if we follow that prescription, we would really make sure that not just our children, but that we too are exposed to his word quite frequently. Perhaps this was also what was on Jesus' mind when he looked down from the cross to his crying mother. He entrusted her to John, one of his disciples. Even though Jesus had many brothers, they did not, or at least not yet, believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and therefore they could not provide the kind of spiritual environment Jesus would want his mother to live in for the rest of her life. So his final action of putting matters into order before dying speaks volumes to us. As modern-day disciples of Jesus, we are called to follow our Lord and to provide the right kind of environment to the people we love, whether they are our own children, our parents, our church community, or just some other people who are entrusted to us. This is certainly something we have to keep in mind a bit later on in the AGM when we make some decisions. One thing is for sure, that we can only provide the right kind of environment through the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us pray then that the Holy Spirit will reveal to each one of us how we can grow more in the image of Christ so that our lives become relevant to the people around us. Amen. Amen.